start this, I'd say, two-session topic, maybe. We're going to pull some quotes from a recent podcast interview about our book, Reflective Meditation, Cultivating Curiosity and Kindness in the Buddhist Company. Josh Summers had a conversation with us, and it was quite a conversation. It was actually quite fun to do with him.
Yeah, and so we're going to, like we said, pick some sections. We covered quite a bit of ground in this interview, and it is now up. If people want to listen to the interview, it is up on the reflectivemeditation.org website, right, Linda?
I don't know.
Okay, we don't know. We hope so. If not, it will be there very soon.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, so we were going to really talk about this thing we do that maybe is different than what, or surely what's different than what most goes on at most meditation groups or traditions, which is we learn through conversation. And even though we've talked about it before, we're going to segue back to it.
Right. We're going to segue back to it and also kind of start with it, because I think that many people, and this is a kind of a quote from the article from the podcast, is that I think many people are used to being told what to do in meditation and therefore what should develop from a practice. And one of the distinctions we're making is that we're not telling people exactly what they should do in meditation, and therefore we don't know exactly what will develop. I just added my own word in there, exactly. Because within this conversation that often Nellie and I are having, but we have conversations all the time. We're talking to each other in our minds. And it can be confusing listening to conversations. What do you pull out of a conversation that's instructional or helpful?
And I like that you added in those words exactly twice, you know, with an emphasis, because we are giving some suggestions, and we are pointing in certain directions, but we're not saying go there. We're saying, might be interesting over there if you're interested in it. Like, that's a possibility.
Right. And because we're not doing it so directly, it can be a little bit confusing. At first, like, what should I do if I come to a conversation about meditation? How do you take something away from that conversation and actually implement it into the meditation practice?
Right. And of course, we give people the freedom to not take it or implement it if it really feels off course for them, like really not a helpful suggestion, or one that maybe they even can wrap their minds and hearts around. So, you know, that's the other part about it, is we're saying, okay, you need to discern what of this is a fit for you. Yeah. And that also can be confusing, because again, we're used to being told what to do, and we're used to being told how to learn.
Right. Yeah, I think even the approach that we're taking, Nellie, you know, it can seem a little bit lighter than an authority of, you know, what we think people should do, that there's a familiarity and accessibility because it's conversational, but it also can seem maybe light or not as deep.
Right, not the real thing anyway.
Real thing,
right,
yeah.
Like, is this really Buddhist? Like, they're just chatting about whatever. It's, how could this really be Buddhism? And yet, we've sort of seen in the reviews and what people have said to us, at least those who are familiar with this practice, that it can take them quite a ways.
Right. We wanted to read one of our reviews because it actually got to the heart of this. I'll read the first line, Nellie, and then you can read the second. So this is what one person says. This is an eminently easy dialogue about meditation practice between two Buddhist teachers who are also friends. There are no lofty concepts to get one's mind around, but there is depth of perception and experience.
So finishing up the quote, this book is so easy to read that you wonder, am I getting anything? And then you're doing the dishes and part of a conversation comes back to you and you get it. It's subliminal. I love that quote, that review, because I thought, oh, I just realized what I love, because it really speaks to the process of how learning happens in our approach. And, you know, she calls it subliminal, but that, you know, there's this way that you get it. Sometimes you get it later, you get it in another way later. And it's like, whoa, wow, oh, okay. Which is really different than, again, the way we're used to learning.
Right, it feels more receptive and really fits in with the kind of receptivity of the approach. It feels intuitive. And it's very curious how that happens. Like, we don't even really know how that happens, but that is something that develops within this practice.
Yeah, yeah. And then I'll make a little plug. We do have a number of reviews, like, I guess 16, actually, just I happen to know what, I don't know why, no, I'm joking there. Thank you. And we had ones that were like really in depth, like this one that really like get at it. But, you know, we appreciate any reviews. If any of you are thinking about it, a simpler review than this would be great. Though this one, yeah, I love this one. It really gets at it. It's another conversation, isn't it? I just got it. She's conversing back to us about how this works inside of her. No wonder I love it. It's another conversation.
It's another conversation, and it actually goes into the next quote that we pulled from the interview, which is that we're listening to the reviews. She's listening to us, we're listening to that, and therefore it goes into this kind of way we wanna listen to each other. So Nellie, yours is the next quote.
Yeah, so deeply listening. We learn to deeply listen to ourselves and what's going on internally in our body, mind, heart. And because I'm gonna sort of riff off of this a little bit, not read it directly. And because we are learning this capacity within the meditation and within the time of reflection, this helps us listen to others deeply. And this changes a lot. I think it actually changes everything. I don't mean to be extreme here. Really listening to ourselves and knowing what's going on internally allows us to make better choices in your life. Helps some of the reactivity also, because we're listening internally.
Right, right. And that listening internally, listening to somebody else and listening to ourselves at the same time. I mean, this is the process by where we can see what develops, like, and we're hoping that a kind of caring develops, that curiosity and kindness develop from this listening process. And we've seen that happen within ourselves and within others. And I just feel like the reactivity that we might have while we're listening to people, that, you know, our own voices, that we don't throw that away easily. We're more curious about it. And that actually comes into this deep listening process.
Right, and when you say you don't throw it away, I mean, we you know, what I think you mean is that, you know, we think there's something to be actually learned from our reactivity. Right. And so we don't say, oh, get away from reactivity, go back, go somewhere else, but really listen in and know more about what's driving that.
Right. Right. It seems to me that listening and awareness are really, you know, kin, you know, kind of cousins here. They really are important to go together, because it makes us more aware of what's happening for ourselves while we listen to somebody else.
And I really want, or maybe need, to be listened to. And so probably that's why I love this approach. But that's really what I want from people who I care about in my life. That's how a big part of how I want to be cared for, to be listened to deeply. And so that's, you know, probably not just mine alone. I'm sure many people can resonate with that, maybe some more than others. But the other part about it is really, this is how we develop metta, which I like the translation of is friendliness or caring. And so, you know, as we're listening to ourselves and others with caring, we are developing the capacity for more caring, more metta, more friendliness.
Right. Right. And sometimes it's caring not to go into conversations with people, and that the, let's say, the development of boundaries, of knowing who we can go into a deep listening practice with, and where do we need to back off a little bit and not say as much and have the conversation be a little more silent or internal. So.
Yeah. And we, you know, on that note, we do really, we are very thoughtful and intentional about trying to create processes and sanghas where people can both have their boundaries, but also speak up and really be heard.
Okay.
I think it's my turn to ring some bells today.